This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Are we old? I think that's what this boils down to. Are we old? In the clip coming up, we discuss prom dresses and how sultry we think us old men they've become. Did you see the one we were sent towards the end of the show? I'll retweet it, from Christina Smith. That's a couple that hates you, Mike. The one black girl's prom dress, here, I'll swing that around on you. That's a prom dress. Describe that, Mike. Describe that.
God dang.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much showing almost one of her breasts and her entire left leg.
Dang.
It's pretty much like ripped in half and then put back together.
It looks like she's wearing a sheet with sleeves that are there's the slightest little clip and a Coco Chanel logo right around her hip. And that is a prom dress. That's someone's daughter. Are we old?
No, I mean, I don't... I think it's a combination of everything. I mean, I think we are, yes, maybe a little bit old, but I also think that it's just getting ridiculous. Where does it end?
Well, like you said during the segment,
like, what's going to happen when Stella's 18? Like, is it going to swing back the other way and they're going to wear more? Or are they just going to keep wearing less and less and less? Like, you can't wear less.
Well, like you said, it's just been a gradual slide, you know, since the beginning of time, really. You know, the beginning of the century was...
Yeah, they used to swim in, like, full-length wool bathing suits. And now we have string bikinis. There used to be long skirts, then there was mini skirts, and that, you know, Daisy Duke shorts.
There used to be the one piece that got broken down into the two piece. I mean, let's be honest, a two piece bikini is just underwear. And we have this prom dress. And what's interesting, though, is the guy tuxedo. Not much change. I'm seeing tuxedos in some of these prom photos sent to us from 2017, 16, 15. You could have worn to my school in 1997. Bit of a double standard. It's a bit revealing. We're seeing way too much of your daughter's scantily clad prom dresses on Behind the Curtain. Oh, look at her getting out of that limousine her father rented in front of Thomas Stone High School, Westlake, maybe La Plata. If you went to Lackey, you probably had jeans and a shirt you wore with Marlboro Miles. Or Maurice J. McDonough, where I went for prom season. Prom season's upon us. Mike, who did you go with?
Next girlfriend. Who shall not be named.
Describe her attire. Nothing to do with her. I don't know what she was wearing.
It was very, I guess, conservative. Typical. Nothing lewd or scanty. Nothing unusual. I remember when we were in high school, it seemed like every dude wanted to get the Dumb and Dumber tuxes.
Oh, I still do. Okay. I was about to make fun. Like, wait a minute. I want to do that like every other event. We should get Dumb and Dumber tuxes because I'm a moron. I made my girlfriend cry the lead up to prom, which actually now kind of comes full circle and makes sense that she slept with someone else that same night. She got flapper hair. You know what flapper hair is? She had very short hair.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I know what it is.
Yeah. So it's like tight finger waves. Mm-hmm. Very. And I was like, so is that what you're going with? Bursts into tears.
Spent so much time on that.
Yeah, like, you can't do a lot with short hair like that. So she found what she thought was this great hairstyle, and a stupid stone dumbass video game exchange, Justin Schlegel, who'd probably been on his fourth bong rip of the day coming out of the back of that store. God, I can't believe I did drugs at work. And met her out front. She worked down the same strip mall that I did at a hair salon. And they spent all this time on her, and I looked at her, like, oh, yes, no, and she starts crying. But her dress was nice. She had a very long, sleeveless, high-collared ankle length, but it was all covered in sequins. So any light that hit the damn thing, it turned the room into a disco ball.
Yeah.
What about your love?
Still
with her. Took Chiquita.
Went to junior and senior. I actually have my junior prom photo right here.
Get out of here. Let me see her.
You've seen it. I posted this already.
See, that's classic.
And look at me, though. God, what a situation.
Look
that
how
was.
Happy you are, though.
Look at the ears.
Look at that face.
Look at the nose. The lack of facial hair. My hair.
Smile.
Just terrible. But yeah, that's the dress. And then the senior, that's junior prom. Senior prom, not far off. I could probably find a photo of maybe all of us. But yeah, they were a lot more. I think what we're getting at, is that they dress real slutty nowadays.
Yeah, gone full on browsers. Everyone's doing the naughty America thing.
Are we just being old? Are we old? Are we old men? Are we stuffy old men?
Okay, a great question to ask. Every generation thinks of the generation after it. Its music sucks. Its food sucks. Its fashion sucks. But prom, I thought, was supposed to be like a classic kind of affair. And meanwhile, you got like 18-year-olds. 18-year-olds look different than 18-year-olds 20 years ago when I went to school. Are having like their chests all shoved up into the air, and you can see the butt hanging out.
A lot of skin.
The leg slits, the thing that baffles me. And it's not like a thin one. I mean, it's almost like a crazy long loincloth where only the private area and the inner thighs and knees are covered, and like their legs are hanging out. If she drops her cell phone or something, she's going to bend over and pick it up, and you're going to get a peek at the unmentionables. Hey, how long has it been since your baby girl has gone to prom?
She went to her senior prom, so that was last year.
Wow.
I don't have my phone on me. I have pictures of that.
Go run and get it.
Bring it back in.
And we're going to ask you some questions. Hurry. Go quick.
Hurry.
Yeah, hey. coming up out of sports, 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. Shoot us a text or give us a call. Prom season is upon us, and we're about to ask Paul. Paul's got a very beautiful daughter.
A model.
She's a model.
Gorgeous.
And has your daughter or anybody you know maybe tried on some dresses or actually went to a prom in a dress that was, let's just be honest, I mean, they're dressing pretty slutty nowadays.
Yeah, we were talking about some of the girls.
She wear a slutty dress, Paul?
Did she wear a dress that you were like, you take that off, you hussy?
Did she try anything on that you were like, no way?
Yeah, of course.
So she came out of the dressing room with a few, and you and your wife were like, that's not happening.
What do you think, Dad? I think I can see your entire ass.
She's got her belly out.
Let me see this.
She's got her belly out. It's not even a dress. It's a two-piece, and she's got her belly out.
Oh, you can scroll forward.
That's lingerie.
Which way do you want me to...
You let her go out of the house wearing that teddy?
You know how much that dress costs?
I don't know. I'll look it up on Fredericks of Hollywood.
Is it
right
even
now.
A dress? It's two
a dress.
Pieces.
No, it's a dress. It was like $800.
What? For that little bit of fabric?
That's like two Band-Aids and a silver dollar pancake. Paul, that is. I'm looking right at it. I'm good.
It's not too bad.
Let me see that picture.
What does she got to have her belly out for?
I don't know. That's her.
Now, her friend next to her, that seems a little bit more reasonable.
Yeah, that's more classic than anything else. Let me see if I can find. I thought someone sent me a picture of me at prom. We're going to take calls in a second. 410-338-1098.
Did she try to go less fabric?
Oh, no, she really wanted that dress.
So that's the one she wanted.
Yeah, oh, here, you can show this to Paul. That was me dancing at prom. Show that to Paul.
This was Justin's prom.
That's me dancing at prom.
Bunch of nude dudes.
Just a bunch of naked guys dancing.
Doing the waltz.
Wasn't that far?
You think back to high school, and like I remember even in gym class, girls were always trying to be sexier than the next, and like taking their gym shorts and rolling them up.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Show off more of their legs and ass.
Roll it
and
up.
Mike, you know, we all know Mike's high school stories. Just, I mean, he was just a walking body of testosterone.
Uh-huh.
Your body was just
We all were.
Mike was 90% penis with these little doll arms sticking off the side of it.
Yeah, you were just a walking set of balls.
How every drive to school was I would be freaking out because, you know, there was something happening in my pants that I had to get down before I got out of the car. Like, God. It was a constant struggle to keep my crotch in check.
God, I can't believe this is like last year. It was like this time last year.
It's Mike walking down the hall. Has anybody checked the message that we just got on our Facebook page, facebook.com/JSS98rock from Zach Stout? Hot damn! Holy hell, Michael Anderson, look at them.
Oh my God.
Yes, this is what we're talking about. Prom dresses in 2017 and beyond. Have they gotten a little too scantily clad? Have they gotten a little too revealing?
That's the other weird thing, too.
Oh my God, Zach.
Girls have always tended to mature earlier. So you look at these prom pics and it looks like some like teenage boy with a woman.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, they both have adult bodies. But look at those childlike faces on Zach and his girlfriend. He's got that thin little, I can barely grow a beard that he's super proud of. She's got those tiny, sweet little girl eyes. And then look at that.
That's too low cut.
That's way too low cut. I mean, that's nothing you're letting Stella go out in.
Way too low cut.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're asking you for
imagine 10, being a father at one of these things. You got to be looking at the sky the entire time.
Jasmine Booth, she sends in a link to another prom dress. I'll have to retweet this if I can. Let's get a look at this here. This is called the Sexy Pearl Sequin A-Line Two-Piece Prom Dress. That's a bra. I mean, that's a bra.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like a see-through bra with two pasties underneath of it, covering up her DeVitos. Just hiding that action.
Got some text here, 410-338-1090. Give us a call also. Worked at Martin's Catering for 7 years from 2000 to 2017. Saw a lot of interesting dresses. The only way some of these girls could be wearing any less clothes is if they came only wearing underwear.
Yeah.
Girls dressed like hookers today. My husband and I picked up his 16-year-old brother from school the other day. My husband said, our daughter will never dress like these little hookers. And I have seen what some of my friends' daughters are wearing to prom. And oh, my God, my father would have thrown a trash bag over me if I dressed that way.
Okay, little hookers, a little excessive. Little high-priced escorts, maybe. I think it's also the fact that if we saw these dresses, some of the examples were being sent, on a woman that I know for a fact is 26, 27 years old, I'm all about it. I'll take that and upgrade me with the slaw and the lobster tail on the side. But that's like, that person was just 17 years old. I'm still kind of in that, you're a kid thing. That says makes me, I don't know, it gives me the oogies. Let's go to Kevin, Fort Meade, line one. Thank you for holding, Kev.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. So I had a date who wore a very, let's just say she was scantily clad. And at the end of the evening when I came home, my mom said, man, must have cost a lot of money to look that cheap.
Oh,
damn. Did you like it?
Oh, of course.
Did you get a chance to maybe scoot it up or pull it aside?
I mean, we were together for a few years after that, so we definitely had ourselves a good time.
Nice. That's what's good up. For you, buddy.
Yeah.
And your mom, did your mom hate her the whole time?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Perfect. It's usually the ones that mom hates that are the ones that are the most incredible in bed. Let's see who we got here. It's the ones that mom hates. It just turns into an all-you-can buffet. Let's go to Chris in Laurel. Chris, good morning.
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 So my daughter went to 3 out of 4 years of prom, and I never saw the scantily clad stuff. I thought they were, you know, everything was nice. Was, you know, there may have been one or two, but for the most part. But we're in Howard County, and there's a store in Mount Airy that's the mecca for, like, 3 or 4 counties where all the girls go to get their prom dresses. It's this two-story place. Most frightening experience of my life was going there the first time and seeing how it's like mother and daughter piranhas going through that store, devouring the dresses and trying everything on. It's just a frightening thing to witness.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine. Like, if you watch My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, right, you get to watch a bunch of these psychopathic, weird, traveling gypsy pythons try and pick out some weird gaudy dress or some weird child marriage to a dude she's met once. Yeah, they can be horrible to work with. Brittany Polino, she actually sent in a very, very beautiful picture of a very classic prom dress. Get a look at that. Lady in red. That's very nice. She's got the black sash around the hips. Hair's done nicely. Now, those were the types of prom dresses that I saw. Covered up as possible. Basically screaming, you ain't going to get to touch this. Let's go to Dan in Westminster. Dan, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
How you doing, buddy? Hey.
Good. Well, I'm not a father, but I did go to prom in my junior year of high school. And my date, her dress was great, and, you know, nothing wrong with that. But it's just what I noticed while I was there. It was just, pardon my French, but just very slutty looking. A lot of the stuff I saw was just nasty. And this was in 2015, keep in mind. So, you know, you're talking about 2017. I mean, it's been on a downhill slide since 2015, I think, you know.
No, I got no problem, thank you for the call, with like form fitting. That's fine. You get something that kind of holds the body a little loose. It's some of the ones that we're seeing where like, man, their chests are barely contained, and I can see like the you get the under boob on some of these things.
I see, but throughout this whole conversation, I'm just sitting here in my mind going, God, we sound so old, because this is what, you know, happened in like the 60s, and all the, you know, people from the 40s and 50s were like, look at you kids wearing nothing, and your mini skirts. Look at you with your skirt is supposed to go below the knee.
We used to wear a sack over our head. We used to go at night with no lights out under cover of darkness, and you danced 4 feet away from your date, and the date was prearranged by a local coal miner.
Long sleeves and a turtleneck is what a woman wears.
Yes, exactly. They wear a towel over their head, and we paint their faces completely black, not being racist, just covering up their features.
Yeah, I feel like that's where we're at right now.
I feel like some of these, though, man, you get those slits up the
side. But where does it end? It's like they're wearing next to nothing. It's got to swing back in the other direction, right?
I was searching some here, and you have the bareback. I think bareback can be fun. Barebacks that go so far down that you're just seeing the very top of that ass crack. Just a
too much
teaspoon of that butt crack. That's an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, and let's not right, that's the other thing we're not even addressing is how old these girls
are. Great point. His daughter went to 3 proms. He said his daughter, you have to be a senior guy or a senior girl, but you can take your sophomore, junior, God forbid, freshman, to the prom. So this could be like a 14-year-old.
Well, we had another texter say that apparently side boob is a big thing in the prom dress.
What?
Thank God I've got a boy.
Yeah. So it took a Spirit of Baltimore dinner cruise last year. There was a prom going on the lower deck. It was pretty shocking to see what the girls were wearing. No way my daughter would go out in some of those dresses. Side boob is apparently all the rage.
Don't let that be the rage. By the time Evan is 18 years old, completely nude, they're wearing a dress made out of penises.
What's a better boob? And of course, I'm talking of women of legal age. Is a better boob the side boob or the under boob?
I'm a big fan of under boob these days. Love the under boob. Side boob's nice, classier. Under boob, a little steamier. Okay. I think the classiest, you've got the V.
Just a straight cleave.
Straight cleave.
You got the cleavage, the side boob, and the under boob.
Under boob.
Spiegel, what do you prefer?
Usually, like, you know, it could be anything. It could be round. It could be pointed. And you could cut it off for all I care.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Oh, I love when we meet new people over the phones. Out of nowhere, there was a discussion yesterday, Friday, about the height of corn. And did you see the link before we get to this clip that someone sent us that, like, the world's tallest corn stalk grown in 1940-something, 31 and a half feet tall. That's Mike's obelisk. That's his god. That they were saying, hey, this is not good weather. Tony Pan stopped in. The corn is growing too early. It's going to rot. It's going to die. And we started getting upset and how it's going to affect the farmers. And then we heard from Farmer Josh. Farmer Josh called us.
Hi there.
Hi, not you. No, that's Newsman Josh. That's Murrow Award winner Josh. This is a guy that works on a farm and he works with his hands and he wears Justin steel-toed boots and drives around a tractor and he just lives the life.
Just a simpler. It seems like a simpler. Doesn't it seem like a simpler?
I'd say better.
Existence, a better existence.
A better existence.
You know, when he goes to sleep at night, like, he's sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like a good, after a long, hard day's work, hot shower, a nice meal, and then he probably only has, like, one ice-cold beer. You know what I mean?
Like, it's all it takes for
and
him.
And it's like a Budweiser, and it's ice-cold, and then he sits down, and he gets in his bed, and he just sleeps so well.
When he kicks his feet up, there's been no better sensation of feet being kicked up than when he is off his. I sit on my fat, vealy ass. I don't lift a muscle outside of the piddly work I put into the gym. And this guy, he's just toiling, lifting, grinding, hay baling. And Josh, you even started asking him questions you hear coming up about maybe starting a little farm of your own.
Yeah, I'd like to start a farm.
You got to drop this. I'm just telling you right now.
Don't you dare drop it.
Drop this idea.
Be
it's
a farmer.
Stupid.
Be a farmer.
No.
You've already got the name.
No.
You're Farmer Josh.
There is something called urban farming.
Get chickens. Yes. Oh, God.
And people have chickens. People have goats. The only thing is I have a 20-foot fence, and they wouldn't be able to look out. So that's the one problem. You don't want to.
You're worried about the goat's view?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want a horse. Now I want a horse too.
You don't want a horse.
Trust me, you've told us stories about your little situation there and in your neighborhood, and this is the last thing you want is livestock on your yard.
Maybe a pot-belly pig.
The smell of pot-belly pig
the
waste.
Noises.
Chicken waste, goat chickens. Sounds. You thought you know who across the way was a little fired up about you know what. They get a nice hot sheep stink floating towards them in a summer. Ooh, you're going to have a real HOA thing on your hands.
Well, God forbid one of them dies.
Oh,
well, then the blood is on your hands.
Maybe I'll move.
Oh damn! You're like moving. You want some? You want a barn? You want some land? You want a farm?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Well, Farmer Josh might get to meet prospective Farmer Josh soon enough. We're thinking about having him coming up. Maybe having us go out for a day on the farm.
All right, sir.
Hear it now. We heard from Farmer Josh on Behind the Curtain.
In case you didn't notice, it is raining outside. WBAL TV meteorologist Tony Pan is here with, we got some mic.
Oh, and Tony, I'm wondering, I had this conversation with a putty of mine yesterday. I was wondering, given the weather for the past couple months and, you know, the forecast moving forward.
Yeah.
What kind of growing season do you see?
And here comes the corn.
Are you farming now, Mike?
I don't, but I like to appreciate a good.
No, where'd you go to school? You're from where?
Oh, from. I went to school in D.C. I went to school in North Hartford, in Hartford County.
North Hartford County. They had a big, drive your tractor to school day.
Drive your tractor to
big
school.
Big ag program.
I think you should do that anyhow, whether you're in an agricultural area or not.
It's in his blood. It's in his blood, Tony.
Remember last year, we got a ton of rain in the spring, and it kind of screwed up the crop. And corn last year was very disappointing.
Oh, no.
All right, well, I'll give you a short term, then a long term. Next week, I think there's going to be two chances for some frost. Monday and Tuesday morning.
Holy!
So, if you're a gardener and you planted stuff that you shouldn't do yet, you know, Monday, Tuesday morning, it'll be in the 30s, and we're probably going to get a pre-Mother's Day frost. Probably temperatures below freezing out in western Maryland. Beyond that, I think May is going to stay cool and wet. We might get another one of these kind of days like today, a couple of times down the road in the month of May.
I'm sorry,
but I think that pattern breaks over the summer. I think it's going to be a pretty hot summer. And not necessarily as wet as it's been in the last couple of months. Does that help you?
Yeah, that's good.
That's not. Is that good or bad for the crops?
The
I don't know.
He wanted.
I meant to tell you, Mike. I was driving past the farm a couple days ago, and I saw what appeared to be the beginnings of the corn coming up. Is that? I saw something coming up, and normally there's corn that grows there. So is it too early for that?
I feel like usually it's like first couple weeks of June you see it start to pop up. Maybe
shouldn't have told
May.
You anything, man. Yeah,
well, if you're a farmer, text in. Let us know. What
have been
think.
Weeds?
How's it go?
Weeds.
Corn in May go away. Corn in June, we die soon. Something I don't know, but I think it's too early. Mike considers the first 30 minutes of Interstellar an adult film because it's just corn for 20 minutes.
Mike loves corn.
Tony Pan, thank you
so much.
Joining us on the program, line one, from Rising Sun, we are joined by Farmer Josh. And Farmer Josh, you have an update about the corn.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up, Josh?
What's up about the corn?
Rising Sun,
hey,
farmer.
It was looking pretty good for the corn, being warm and humid. Mm-hmm. That's what corn needs to get up out of the ground. But then this cold and rainy weather, it's just going to sit in the ground and rot.
No way. Come on, man.
Yeah, and a lot of people around us have planted corn already. But we haven't planted any because they're talking like frost around our area. And if the corn gets up, corn will get up after about 2 days after it's been planted. So Josh was seeing corn up.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
That's what I figured because that field that I drive by all the time, it's I always see corn that's like 20 feet high. So I figured this was just the beginning.
No, but it's too soon.
Yeah.
It's too soon.
Can you tell our Josh, please, that corn doesn't grow to 20 feet high?
Oh, boy.
It'll grow to around 16.
That's not 20. It's 16.
You know what? I'll round it up. Boy, Mike wanted to.
And Mike, don't even hear that noise that came out of my mouth.
I have seen corn over 20 feet.
Whoa!
Stop. In Harford County before.
Oh, that's what
I'm
talking
about. You're a farmer, check in. You know Josh.
Yes, I do.
Farmer Josh,
there's a Mexican corn that grows and it grows to 22 foot.
Oh, God.
22 Whoa. Foot.
It's going to be able to grow over the wall.
Josh, what's your crop? What's your go-to crop, sir?
The corn's good for the cows, and but your beans is where you make your money, because you get sometimes $11, $12 a bushel on beans, where your corn really fell apart. You're only getting about $4 a bushel now.
What kind of beans? Yeah, what are we talking about? What kind of beans are we talking about?
Soybeans.
Soybeans, of course.
Yeah.
You have any of those jumping Mexican beans?
No. Okay. But I hear the people that plant the Mexican corn have a lot of them, though.
Like, what do you do on the farm? Like, you do everything?
Yeah, well, this morning we fed cows and got wet with rain. But, you know, it's a busy time of the year. I've been in the tractor about 60 hours here in the past week.
That's working what? Around, getting ready. Day's work.
What does a tractor do? What are you doing? You tilling the fields? Or?
Yeah, we're pulling a plow. And you gotta break the ground open first, so we have a chisel plow.
Right.
And it rips everything up and spread your, get your manure in with the soil.
It's got
and
the big spike in the
up.
Front, right? It's got that big spike?
Yeah, there's actually 12 spikes.
Ooh, wow.
That dig into the ground.
If someone like
and,
me...
Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then we run over it with the disc, which is a bunch of look like dinner plates that dig into the ground. And it's real heavy, so it chops everything up and it makes it look real nice. And you keep doing that until you can get it ready to be planted. You got to go around and pick up rock and everything else.
Damn, that's a lot of work. Gosh.
If someone like me wanted to start a farm,
not a farm. Like don't say a farm. Say a garden. Insult this man.
I don't want to grow fruits and vegetables. But you know, what if I wanted a goat or two and maybe some chickens? Would it be difficult to take care of that?
No, goats and chickens are fairly easy. We used to when we sold all of our goats, but we had 55 here one year.
Damn.
And that was a lot to take care of because they needed hay and straw and grain and feed them, you know, twice a day. And then they're out on a meadow and they kept getting out of the fence and running through the field. So we had to go out and round them up. And
the other thing our Josh isn't thinking about is all the urine and feces.
A lot of poop, a lot of pee-pee.
I was going to say that, you know, little animals are all right. Goats and chickens, they're not too bad, but our cows, you know, we're constantly hauling and spread manure, and you got to bed them all the time to keep things clean. And
let me ask you this, Josh, the manly Josh that works on a farm, our news guy.
Honest day's work, Josh.
Honest day's work, Josh.
Hardworking man, Josh.
Hardworking Josh.
All right.
Masturbates while smoking angel dust, Josh.
All right.
What? You're fully adjusted to the smell of like manure, right? That doesn't even bother you at this point.
Oh no, no, I've been wearing the same pants for about a week and a half because there ain't no sense in changing them because they just get dirty again.
How big is your farm? How many acres?
The farm that I'm living at, we have around 100 acres. And then there's another farm a mile down the road that has around 100.
I don't want to get personal, but like, let's say you put your farm up for sale now. How much would it be? Like, how much would you sell it for?
Yeah, what's a 100-acre farm going for?
I don't know, but it's a lot more than anybody would really want to pay.
Do you have a profile? Do you have a profile at FarmersOnly.com, the dating site for farmers, about farmers?
I used to, but
I would like to buy your farm.
We're here to make you a cash money offer on your farm today.
It sounds like it's not your farm. You just work on it.
No, it's not my farm, but I'm...
Well, it's not your farm?
Yeah, couldn't you tell by the
No,
the
I thought he was the farmer.
In his sentence?
I thought he was the owner.
He works. There's people that work on farms.
That's
that
right.
Don't
get
own
him
that
out of
farm.
Here.
Try
to pull
get
him out.
He doesn't own it. He just works on it. Look, the guy's making an honest living.
Josh, are they?
I am a farmer, though.
Yes.
I mean, when I write my
Do you wear overalls?
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
We've been scammed.
What do you look like? What's your height and weight? Are you a big, fat, like, farmer guy, or are you in shape because you work on the farm all day?
I'm pretty much in shape. We did 22,000 bales of hay and straw last year.
I haven't bent over 22,000 times.
So you don't even, the gym doesn't even exist for you. It's just called work.
Send Mike a picture.
Yeah.
I want to see your hands. I bet your hands are just weathered leather.
Josh, do they need any help on the farm?
Mike wants to help.
I want to be a farm hand.
He wants to be your farm twink.
If Mike came there and you hired Mike,
a, plant some seed in
like
it?
You would pay him hourly or something like that, and what would he be doing?
Well, normally, me and my boss, we can get everything done. I've been working here for going on 5 years.
You're this guy's competition.
You sure you don't need a corn bitch?
Yeah, Mike can do all the work you don't want to do.
He could be your silver queen.
Yeah, I'll help you put the hay in the barn.
Yeah, I mean that's normally what we get help for is putting hay in the barn.
Okay.
And Sandusky. We pay around $12 an hour if you're good at
that's
it.
That's fair.
It's more than here.
Because you don't want that hay to rot, right? That's bad. You got to feed it to all the cows, and if it goes bad, that's not good.
Well, our hay, when we put it up, you know, it's completely dry, so it won't rot.
Nice.
But it has to be stacked right so you can get a bunch in there.
Right.
And normally we're doing it, you know, when it's 100 degrees outside and then you're inside a barn, it's 110 and there's no air and you're covered in hay dust and you're doing, a couple nights we were at it till 1:30 in the morning just trying to get everything unloaded and in the barn.
Now, and then you got to get up. Sometimes I see them round bales of hay. What's up with the round bales opposed to the rectangular bale?
The round bales, they're good for feeding a lot of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And feeding them out in the open. We do most of our feeding in the barn. So the round bales, they put them out in the meadow. Well, then if it rains like this, you got to clean out moldy, wet, nasty hay.
Yeah.
Where when you're feeding in the barn, you don't have to do any of that.
Can you get this guy's name and number?
I love this guy.
Can I put you on
talk
hold?
To you for an hour?
Can you be an official show farmer? You're the most
what kind of boots do you wear?
Most well-spoken caller we've ever had. What type of boots do you have?
What kind of boots do you as a farmer like you wear?
Crocs?
Oh, wear steel-toed Justins.
Oh! Whoa, they named boots after me.
Steel-toed Justins.
That's right.
Justin.
How much,
how much, my nickname in how much for a pair of those? Couple hundred?
Yeah, 200.
Yeah, that's a good
they
boot.
Got, they're the, I got to have something with good ankle support for walking
like
around
you.
In the heat.
I like you.
We like
you. I love
you.
This guy.
Welcome to the
Mike,
family.
Mike, get him up here. Oh, look at that. Look at that boot.
Look at that
look
boot.
At that boot. That's steel a toe. Strong boot.
That's a steel-toed Justin right there. You're kicking ass for days in that
thing. Hell yeah.
Huh? I go tap dancing into a local drag queen bingo night and those things. I'm the belle of the ball.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this quick. Do you even own a suit?
No.
Oh, good for you.
Yes!
Good for you.
He didn't even own a suit! I knew he was.
No, I have.
Sticking it to the man.
I have a dress shirt and a good pair of jeans that I wear to church.
And that's it.
Do you know how to line dance?
No, I'm not much for dancing.
Not much for dancing. You are the greatest person we ever met.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
They say that the sensation most tied to memory is smell. So I guess us dudes are pretty damned memorable as we got talking about man smell. Josh, did you, in your household, you had a father who I'm assuming, was he your size? Was he the same shape, size?
I was taller. I was the tallest one in the family.
And you also had a Russian massage therapist that would come over. I can only assume that your house, was there some... Can you remember smells, smells?
I mean, sometimes after my father rode a bicycle around 7 miles every day, and there was perspiration scent, but that went away when he showered. So I didn't quite get all of this, all these people calling the show and saying that guys just smell generally. It just did, I don't know. It's like guys don't smell other guys. They just smell other species.
Like your nose blind, they call it.
Yeah.
I can only imagine Ron, he comes home. He's got to have himself a distinct... I think I'm getting into dad smell here.
Well, hello there.
If I could if there was a way to write down a father's smell in some unknown cosmic language, I could spell my father's smell out. I can remember it right now. I can think of my dad's smell.
Right.
It's so distinct.
Right.
Bad teeth, gross beard, crusty fingernails.
Mm.
Mm. My dad had real bad molars, so when you got close to him, you smelled the sour fang.
Yeah.
What about Ron? Ron had to have a dad smell about him.
He's a pretty clean dude. Showered every single day.
you know, wore kind of, I don't want to say wore a suit to work, but it was business cash over at the car dealership when he was the parts manager in the parts department. And not really. I mean, he was a pretty scentless dude, but I think it more comes from like the age of like 7 to maybe like 25. We go through some stuff where we just kind of emanate whatever the hell. And then you get a bunch of us together and it like the scent just multiplies. And
our farts sync up like a woman's menses.
Right, exactly. Well, I got a lot of texts about like, you know, one woman said that when she'd go in her son's room after him and his buddies had been in there like all day, and she said it just smelled like fried onions.
Oh, God. I cracked a blanket in half. In half. We talked about man smells. Apparently, we stink up the office like dude. I'm behind the curtain.
Well, it smells like a man in here now.
Right in the middle of a sentence. I mean, I'm just in the middle of reading something, trying to get the people the info, and we got to have a power belch in the corner.
Sorry.
Oh, you're not sorry.
Smell like a dude.
I didn't realize my mic was on.
Oh, boy, that's a thick, rich...
I'd love
broth.
To see you try that during Spiegel's News. Your head would be ripped off.
Are you kidding me?
You're lucky I'm reserved right now. Power belch in the middle of a sentence like that.
He slits your throat with a car key. You do that in the middle of the Spiegel, well, Super Spiegel sign off.
That would be impossible because my car keys are back at my desk.
I have a feeling you'd go and get them and return quick enough to plant them in his jugular.
That's true. And
a little trivia for you. That's Spiegel doesn't belch. He's incapable.
Yeah.
So he claims it.
It's very strange. Uh-oh. I don't belch.
All the gas saves itself up for 2 a.m.
It all goes out the other end.
Everything goes through the service entrance.
Yeah, so yesterday... Mike and I are back in the producer pit. We had to slide the door shut because there's some people in the hall being loud. You know, it's just annoying. They have a conversation right outside your door. So, like, let's just slide this shut.
Are you excited for it?
He's working on something. I don't know. Yeah. It's like,
who was it? Please tell me.
No, we're not going to name names.
Look at these new staplers. Aren't they great?
So we're bottled up in there, him and I. And then one of our sales people comes by and slides the door open. She happens to be a female. And the first thing out of her mouth is, as she slides the door open and pops her head in to this small little room that's now been sealed for 20 minutes.
Poorly ventilated.
She goes, "What? I don't even remember what she said. It smells like,
oh, it smells like boy in here.
Smells like dong.
Like boy in here.
Smells boy.
Like, smells like boy.
A boy or man. I think she was trying to be cute. So she said boy, right, or something? I don't know.
She said boy.
We're boys.
It kind of bothered me.
Little boys here playing
and
with blocks.
I sit here and now think about it. I would say that 85 to 90% of that boy smell came from that guy over there in the corner. It wasn't me. Because there was two people in that room. He was busting ass. How many times did you fart?
It's like every 5 minutes.
Every 5 minutes, he's farting. Ugh. He power belches.
You're putting out that body sweat from working out.
You just smell to begin with. But you drink apple cider vinegar all day.
Yeah.
You're the boy smell.
Well, that would be funk, though. But I mean, if you walked into a room and it smelled like fart, you'd be like, it smells like ass in here. You wouldn't say it smells like boy. I think that's a
maybe
different...
Maybe she equates the boy smell with that ass smell.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe she thinks just boy equals fart.
What is boy smell?
Oh, there's all kinds of manly smells.
I've heard this a number of times where women will... I remember one time my older sister walked into my room and she's like, oh, it smells like man in here.
Yeah.
And at the time I thought, well, that's probably from all the 12:30 time happening in here.
Dude, I'm going to yak because that has a distinct smell.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's that smell particularly, but I mean, I've heard women say this my entire life, and I don't know what that boy smell is.
Smells like fists.
What does it smell like? It
smells like stubble. Yeah. Smells like grease, freshly churned dirt, airplane cockpit and aqua velva, baseball glove in the interior of an old car. Tackle boxes, construction sites, a Navy ship, and fresh newsprint.
Yeah, we're not even going to go down the road of that if we were to flip the script and say the same thing. Oh. How that would be a whole situation.
Here's your pink slip, white boy. Good luck on the job market. Radio stations are hiring willy-nilly.
Smells like broad in here.
It is a big stink of Philly.
And I was saying earlier, I'm not sure that there is a distinct smell for women. Like, I mean, obviously perfume or hair products. But aside from that smell, it's not like
You ever smelled an unshowered chick? Because I have, and it ain't nice.
You know what I'm talking about? The nice stink of a man. The reek of a bro. Say yeah!
Someone comes into our studio yesterday, or not our studio, our producer, Pitt. They give a little sniff. They go,
it smells like boys in here.
And I know that I got stepson, Gavin. Love you, buddy. We're connecting over wrestling these days. Well, he's got a bunch of little friends, Cameron, Tommy, everybody else, and they squat up in his room. They play games. They do wrestling. They watch whatever. And when they leave that room, dude, it stinks. It just smells like boys. Mom smells it. I don't. She comes in there, and her head snaps back like,
Oh, do you smell that?
I'm like, I'm not getting any of it. I feel like I'm smell blind to it. Some people are commenting at JSS, 98 Rock. Yes, there is such a thing as man smells. Smells like a hot locker room.
Yep.
Becky says here, what's this? Sometimes women can smell when another woman is on her period. Oh.
I read somewhere that their periods attract bears.
Oh, that's horrible. 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098.
Somebody says, love it. Stale sweat, farts, unkempt clothes, old socks, sometimes smell. I grew up with two brothers, and the smell is very specific. So it's a stale sweat, farts, unkempt clothes, and old socks.
Yeah, inside of a gym bag.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the inside of a gym bag. You know what else I like? Like the inside of a toolbox, an old toolbox that's greasy. When you crack that open, you're like, oh, these have been used. These aren't pretty. Like, you open up my little sissy-ass toolbox, everything else shines. Ah, some nice shoe polish. How about freshly cut grass?
Well, now we're getting into the smells that men like, not what men smell like. Somebody says boys smell like Fritos with a hint of urine.
Oh, God, really? What flavor Fritos are you eating?
Mixture of Old Spice and feet. My truck smells like hot ass every time someone sits in the driver's seat. A waft of fart comes out.
Warm leather and your grandfather's chair.
Combination of sweat, some sort of food, and farts. Oh, this is so flattering. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Feels good. I'm going to blow my head off tonight at midnight.
Men smell like metal, sweat, and a little grime.
Kingsford charcoal and bowling alley shoes.
Ooh, bowling alley shoes is a good smell.
Yeah. That's nice.
410-338-1098.
My son and nephew sit in his room, and after a couple hours, it definitely stinks like farts and shoes.
Mike Canton. Good morning, bud. Thank you for holding.
What's up, fellas? Morning.
Hey. You play roller derby.
Yeah, man. So I play men's roller derby for the Baltimore team, and sometimes we scrimmage the women's teams, and the first thing they say to us is, we smell like hot dumpster water, man. Like, it's so bad.
That's badass. Ugh. Hot dumpster water?
Hot dumpster water or Fells Point on a Sunday morning, man. It's always so bad.
Oh. Talk to me about how some of them female. Yeah. I think you got the blockers and the jammers. The blockers are the big gals, the ones that are going to put you on your ass, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I could bet after, I don't know, 15, 20 laps around that roller derby arena, they're smelling rough.
You'd be surprised. Some of the women actually smell fairly good compared to us. Ooh. I mean, I've never really smelled any bad women.
Really? Is there a big, a sex element to this whole thing? Is there, like, big roller derby orgies when your guys are done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never been a part of one, but, hey, I'm sure that happens.
The winning team gets the losing team in the locker room area. You have to keep your skates on.
I choose to believe.
Yeah, I choose to believe also, Mike. Hey, can we put you on hold? I want to come to one of your games.
Yeah, actually, I'd love to get you guys to come to one of our practices. That would be awesome.
I'd love to. I loved roller derby back in the day when they got really over the top with it and they put like a alligator pit in the center. They actually did that a long time ago. I'm going to put you on hold, Mike. I'm going to grab all your information. 410-338-1098, talking about dude smells.
Dude smells.
Some people, genuinely, women, love the smell. There are women that are checking in and they're like, I absolutely love the smell of a stinky dude. I love boy smell. Boy smell turns me on.
Wow.
Let's go to Sam in Aberdeen. Sam, good morning. Sam, good morning.
Sam.
Sam!
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Hey, Jesus.
There he is. Sam, what are
you
doing?
Don't make me yell like that, man.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's a Friday.
I'm so sorry.
Don't make him yell.
Yeah, no, I think it was Justin that said something about the smell of freshly cut grass. The reason that men like that smell so much is because the superiority thing, you know, that smell is actually grass screaming out for help because you're murdering all their people.
Oh, all right. Never knew that. Okay.
Never thought about that. That they were all individual blades of citizens in some weird lawn kingdom, and I've just committed atrocities.
Like a text at 410-338. Boy, smell is feet, ass, and balls.
Jesus.
Yep.
I mean, to be honest with you, we do smell
it's
like.
That's probably a pretty accurate combo.
Is it just BO? Is that it?
Do we just put that off?
God, our office smelled like BO when the salesperson
No, I don't think it's BO. It's not BO. It's just an odor. Like, BO is that oniony, hot, sweaty armpit smell.
Off-putting. Like,
yeah. The guy smell, it just emanates. It's just there. It's just kind of.
It's a part of you at all times. Even after a shower, you still have just this distinct guy waft to you. I know that ladies do, guys do. My stepson, as he's getting older, he's starting to put out a real good pit stink. Now, BO, that's just I'm unclean.
Right.
Like hot locker room, bus, like team bus. Like I can only imagine what your high school football team bus after a 38-0 blowout, you guys are in there high-fiving, screaming, yeah! Get some! Put some pads on his ass, Reardon! And then you get off that thing, and whoever has to get on there after your team is like, oh, my God, that smells like boys. Oh, this is this room, this area, this dojo has to smell like that. Jordan Belair, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, hey. Hi.
Hey,
how
what's
are
up?
You?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Jordan. Number
what's
23.
What's up, Jordan?
Checking in.
What's up?
So.
Yeah.
I do jiu-jitsu with John Rollo, actually.
Whoa. Oh, I've been to Ground Control, and that place has a dude smell about it. Bunch of guys and gals rolling around in jiu-jitsu gis.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the most, the smell that I get is weed.
Oh,
it's so bad.
Well, I'm just putting John on blast.
Damn, what's that?
It's not John. I mean, I never really roll with John, but it's everybody else. Guys just smell like sweat and weed.
Damn.
You're rolling around with a bunch of potheads, love.
I guess.
You might need to roll around with a new partner. Stick a Ground Control, but tap someone in or tap someone out that isn't hitting the spliff before they roll with you. Jordan, is there any footage of you rolling around? I think Mike and I might be steamed up at the thought of you grinding around.
Here's a photo.
Well, there is a bunch on Facebook. I mean, I don't know if it's on the actual Ground Control page. I just got back from New York and won a gold medal. So,
whoa, look at you.
Jordan.
Come in here. I want you to come in here in your gi, and I want you to take Mike down, Hoist Gracie style.
Would you be willing to fight two of us at once?
I could try.
That's the only shot we have, honestly, unless we come at you two at a time. There ain't no way we're taking you down.
Now, I'm looking at a picture of you. I found you that quickly.
God, he's good.
Are your toes painted while you're doing the jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, but not well.
It comes
off very easily.
I see. You got to keep the toes looking nice.
Hey, can I take this back to our conversation at the 6 o'clock hour? Did you get a chance to listen to our conversation earlier about hating people because they're beautiful?
I heard the beginning of it,
okay.
But...
Because you're gorgeous.
Girl, here's a picture with her boob hanging out. This picture of you in the black where
coming
your boob's
around.
Hanging out there, Jordan?
Coming around.
You know what I'm talking
Whoa!
About?
Whoa!
I'm embarrassing.
Yes,
Jordan.
I do.
Because Jordan, you're not just beautiful; you're a physical weapon. You're deadly. Also, are you? Do you find men intimidated by the fact that you're not just attractive, but you could tear their arms out of the socket if they cross you?
Well, I spend a lot of time in the gym, so everybody else is also the same way.
Okay, but I mean, out and about when you're out, when you do go
out.
Right?
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot in high school and college. I always got before I even started doing jiu-jitsu. I always got that like. People were intimidated by me, and it was just strange to me.
We're meeting good people today. Jordan, I've always had this fantasy about us having our own personal security team. Much in the same way, Muammar Gaddafi employed a strictly female Special Forces security battalion behind him because he didn't trust men. He thought they'd stab him in the back. He had all women. I would love to contract you to maybe at some of our events. I'd love to just have you stand behind us with Ray-Bans on looking intimidating. Would you be willing to do that?
I'm very short, but...
Even better. That's fine. We'll put you on a milk crate. Could you do that for no pay?
You don't have to say
if I had nothing else to do that day.
Deal.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we were contacted by a rabbi. I'm going to say it wrong. It's Heim Leiter.
Heim Leiter.
Who?
Hand me the Heim Leiter, please.
And he's a guy that he's always a moil, so he does, you know, brisses and circumcisions. He had a Google alert set up in Jerusalem for anything to do with circumcision news, because I guess the guy, you know, is a rabbi. He knows that he knows nothing at all. He never stops learning. He's a wise man. We did a break on Tuesday about circumcisions, and by God, our break shows up on his Google alert. And he reaches out to you, Mike, from the other side of the world. What was his initial email to you? What did it say? We didn't have a chance to ask
him. Yeah, let me find that real quick.
Nice guy,
he
too.
He was very disappointed, essentially, in our initial segment on it. Here it is. I listened to your circumcision show and was saddened that you couldn't find a moil to talk to. I'm a rabbi and a moil who lives in Israel. If you're interested in tackling the topic again, I'd be happy to talk to you. All of my information is at the bottom,
Oh, so he wasn't disappointed with us. He was just disappointed that we couldn't find someone.
I mean, yeah, we had a news guy and a lawyer, both Jewish, but neither one rabbis or moils that knows about the deep, deep, deep knowledge of giving a young kid a circumcision. And Josh, you've had days to process it. What's your stance now after talking to a moil, after reading some stuff, the simple syrup, the sugar water, the whole thing you'll hear coming up?
Well, it sounds like it doesn't really cause pain to the baby, if we're to believe these people that are in cahoots with the industry.
The sugar water thing's what I'm still confused by. We'll ask the moil coming up about.
Yeah, I feed hummingbirds sugar water.
So are they leaving that bird feed or numb? Or how does that, how do they know
so.
That?
I guess so.
The simple syrup, he says, you don't put that on kids. There's no way to test that to see if it's actually effective on kids. But if you let them ingest sugar water, it numbs the area? I've had countless sugary beverages in my life. I never remember any kind of numbing effect.
I'll tell you where he lost me was when I brought up the whole issue of, you know, sexual pleasure being taken away by circumcision. He said, you know, too much of a good thing is never good. I'm like, are you kidding me?
He's a rabbi, dude.
He's a man of the cloth.
I understand, but come on.
Mike.
Come on. Too much of a good thing.
Yeah. Well, we talked to a moil who called us from Jerusalem after he set up a circumcision Google alert, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Over the weekend, you went to a bris. Our good friend Darren Kadish, and the Iraq Attorney General, had a child, Harry.
Harry
is now a member of this world, and we had the bris, the circumcision ceremony over the weekend. We talked about it, and we had a lot of questions. And I'm going to let you bring in our next guest, because I have no idea. I don't want to butcher any kind of name or anything.
I've never talked to this person before, but He
reached out to us.
Yeah, he emailed us. He said he lives in Israel.
Wow.
And
how did
he
hear about it?
That's cool. He listens in Israel.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah, you could listen to the show outside of Baltimore.
We got moils in the motherland.
I didn't know that.
Anywhere in the world, baby.
Rabbi Heim Leiter, or is it Leiter?
You're making me sound a little Arab here. Can we back it up a notch?
Okay.
Please.
My name's Chaim, like, you know, like in Fiddler on the Roof. L'chaim.
Chaim. Oh, well, it says here H-A-V-I-M. Is that incorrect?
No, they lopped off the Y. It's a Y.
God. You know, I'm so embarrassed.
Chaim Leiter.
All right. I didn't do the intro.
Moil Chaim Leiter. Rabbi Leiter. Okay, so what made you contact us?
Well, I just heard a lot of what you guys were talking about yesterday. Truth be told, I try hard to listen outside of America, but it just came up because you guys posted it on your website, and I you know, I'm always trolling the old internet for things about circumcision because that's my business.
Ditto.
Sounds annoying.
And
That's very normal for me. Not everybody in the world, but it's normal for me. Anyway, so I listened to what you guys had to say, and I just was like, you know, there was a couple of things you guys were talking about. You really didn't know what the issues were. I wanted to help you out if you needed some help.
Rabbi, and I have to say this before we get into discussion about the bris and the circumcision and all that. This is just my own projection. When I think of a moel, I think of a rabbi, I think of a Jewish wise man. I always imagined someone that sounds and appears older. You sound like a younger man. Do you mind me asking how old you are?
No, I don't mind at all. I am 39 years old.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So, you know, I consider myself wise, but, you know, to each his own. I work here in Israel actually teaching people all sorts of things about Judaism at a wonderful place called Pardes, where they come to learn and study. And then when I get britzot, when I get a bris, I go and I do a bris.
So you're calling, where are you calling from right now?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, Israel.
That's it.
That's amazing. Cool, this is so cool. And I still am a little confused as to how you found the video yesterday.
What are penises?
Something was on your website. I don't know who put this up on your website, but it's Sidge.
Yeah, but why are you on our website is my question, I guess. Why are you on our website?
Back it up.
Yeah.
I get Google alert notifications. Whenever circumcision goes over the web, I get it.
So anytime the word circumcision gets broadcast on the web, you can alert to your phone.
Yes.
Wow.
Let me put two things out there. There's an awful lot of circumcision in Africa right now, and there's an awful lot of female circumcision out there. And I'm not as interested in those two things.
Right. So a lot of that gets through the filter. Yeah, like I've got Asian massage set up. So whenever some new location opens up, I get a little alert, and you get one about circumcision. Were you a fan of the show at all prior to this? Have you ever listened to our show
absolutely
before?
Absolutely never heard of you guys in my life.
Just got an alert.
There we go.
I got an alert, and I said, you know what? People need to know about circumcision, so this is why I'm here.
Crazy. Yeah, I guess the world works in mysterious ways. So what did you hear in our segment that maybe we... go ahead.
One of the big things that you guys brought up, there's been a lot of controversy in New York about this thing called mitzitza. Right? You guys were talking about that a little bit yesterday?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. So mitzitza is a very complicated, both emotionally... physically, everything about it, I think everyone who's in the modern spectrum, as we like to call them, there are people in the Jewish world who are not in the modern spectrum, but those that are in the modern spectrum struggle with this issue. And those in the modern spectrum have tried, I should say the most of them, have tried desperately not to do what's happening in New York, which is there's actually physical contact between the mouth of the moel and the cut. Let's kind of try and keep it as clean as possible.
Right. There was a tradition where the moel would, if you get a cut, you can, like, suck the blood sometimes. They would do that.
When you cut your arm, you kind of put your mouth to it real quick.
I've never sucked my arm.
The truth is, it kind of stems back to the time of the Talmud, and there was a lot of influence in Greek medicine. And Greek medicine believed that if blood was, like, sort of sitting there, it would be cause an infection. So they actually believed, our rabbis in Judaism, believed that if you left it there and you didn't do this process, the child was in life-threatening danger.
Got it.
And so we sort of keep it sort of as a tradition now, but those who are sort of in the know and know that it can cause death to children if you do it in that way because they can get herpes, do it with either a tube or with just gauze. That's what we do.
Yeah, I was going to say, make sure that the child is there. It is 2017, and for probably about 100 years now, we've had like antibiotic ointment, gauze. I mean,
I
think it's time to move on from that tradition.
Because Josh saw this bris, and you know, Josh saw this child who was essentially served on a silver platter to the moel, and the moel, I think Josh, you said, was saying, hey, he's crying because he's hungry, he might be a little frightened of his surrounding, and it seemed like the moel was trying to convince himself more than everybody else that the kid ain't going to feel nothing. What do you use, Rabbi Leiter, to soothe the area? We heard something about a simple syrup.
Correct. So there are two things that people tend to use. One, I do use it, and the other, I do not. Some people use a topical cream, to sort of like a numbing cream.
Yep.
And the problem is that you don't know, it's never been tested on children. And the problem is it can cause inflammation, and then the bris can't be on the eighth day, and that's really important to Mohalim and to the Jewish people. So that's something which I don't use. But the other thing which has been tested here actually by the leading doctor on science versus Jewish law, he says the number one thing for a child at 8 days is sugar water.
and that's the best thing you can give them. And
do you apply it directly to the site?
No, they.
No. This is ingested. Orally. So they eat it
like a hummingbird.
So you drink sugar water, and it makes it a little more. It's less painful. I'm trying to get the antiseptic, or when I say the numbing qualities
correct.
Of this. Okay.
Right, and the truth is that process they say is actually better than giving them Novocaine at 8 days.
Mike Anderson.
Believe it or not.
I'm wondering, Rabbi, what would you say to the people that are against circumcision and claim that it reduces sexual pleasure?
It's a very good question, and I've got it many a times from my students, from people who I work with. There's a lot of people are concerned about that issue.
Because that's the most important thing.
For sure. I would say that's the most important thing to the people who are anti-circumcision, for sure. And I think what I usually say is there's no doubt that there's going to be a loss of some sensation, I think. I mean, you're losing skin, so there has to be some loss in sensation. But on the one side, you have a lot in the Jewish tradition that talks about tailoring one's appetites. Right, we don't eat everything under the sun. Right, we don't eat pig. We don't eat right. So these things we don't do. And so one of the things is tailoring the appetite. That's one argument I usually go with. The other side of it is that, I mean, I'm gonna. This might take you off in a direction that I'm not sure you want to go. But they actually those that were anti Brit Milan, anti circumcision. Leaked something from the Pediatric Association a couple of months ago. I get this because I get circumcision, Google alert. Deep in the game. And so this thing which they leaked talked about how finally the Pediatric Association of America has admitted that there's a loss in sensation.
See?
And they felt like, they got them. They got them. That's what they felt like.
So why do I finish amazing so thing. Quickly still?
This I'm is not my issue. This is definitely more your issue.
I need answers, Rabbi.
So that's a deep-seated problem, maybe psychological. I don't know. But so what's interesting is if you listen to the audio, which goes with this article, the audio has a doctor talking about how men, when he was, I think he was in Vietnam, he was a doctor in the Army, they used to line up to get circumcision. They all wanted it because of what you just said, because it would help them last longer. And he said, that means that there's actually an increase in sexual satisfaction with getting a circumcision.
There you go, Mike.
And somebody from the other side raises his hand and says, wait, there's a loss of sensation. How could there possibly be an increase in sexual satisfaction? And the guy sort of, it was like they weren't talking to each other. The guy, the doctor was like, because his wife is getting more pleasure as well.
Whoa.
Well, we do have to wrap and that up. Was what, but no, that's fine. Thank you for the call
yes,
all the way
this
from
is
Jerusalem.
So cool. We appreciate the insight,
Rabbi Chaim Leiter. And how many? Like, just real quickly, like how many alerts do you get a day on circumcision? I mean, is it like 1,000? I'm just very curious.
It's not 1,000, but I would say that on an average day, I could get 4 to 10 things coming across the desk.
All right. Well, you got one of ours. It's up at 98online.com. We talked circumcision yesterday. You can see the video there. He got an alert on his phone, reached out to Mike. He called us all the way from Jerusalem. Is it Chaim? Chaim?
You got it. That'll work. That'll work.
There you go. Chaim Leiter.
All right. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you checking
expert.
In.
All the best, guys.
All right. Take care. There he goes.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Woo! Keith went and done did it on Wednesday. He got fired up about this Sox and Orioles brouhaha. It all started out with a bunch of racial stuff being screamed at Fenway, and then there's some errant pitches being thrown. And you'll hear it coming up. Keith, when he's mad, is as focused and as accurate and as clear-minded as you're going to find him.
Yeah, it was nice to hear a coherent sentence out of his mouth for once.
We just got to piss him off from now on. We have to start every day by pissing off Keith.
Yeah, I mean, you'll hear. I mean, I don't know what are we about to play, Mike? I don't know where we're.
The first sports segment Wednesday, Keith went on a tirade.
Yeah, it was great. It was good, and he just, like Justin said, it was, I guess it was a tirade. It went on for a few minutes, and it was a long, cohesive, coherent thought, which we don't get many times from the aging one foot out the door autumn of his career, short time in Keith Mills.
Yeah, Keith is usually, hey, speaking of badminton, Carmel Gibbons, what's your favorite sandwich, Josh? Pretend you're a flag. Like, what just happened? But in this case, he is so laser focused on his hatred for the happenings in this game that if Keith sold me more on baseball, I might watch more baseball. Because by God, I watched that game that night.
Whoo! And that thing stuff, that happened?
Whoa!
Man, that thing that happened in that game.
That was nuts!
Wednesday night, and here we are on a Saturday.
Nuts.
Like, I don't even want to. It was just crazy what happened.
We're probably going to recap it coming up this week, the occurrence from the Orioles-Red Sox game on Wednesday. If you haven't heard, look it up. And if you know about it.
Crazy. Crazy.
This is a taped program. All right, coming up, Keith went on a rant, and it was pretty incredible. Coming up.
Here's what happened last night when Adam stepped up.
Listen to the announcement and let's see.
Center fielder, number 10, Adam Jones.
And it grew into a pretty rousing ovation that included Mookie Betts and all the Red Sox. But the goodwill ended there because the next batter and the next pitch, Chris Sale, does this.
3-for-9 off Sale. Whoa! Chris Sale, there's the warning from the home plate umpire. It was bound to happen, but boy, I didn't think it was going to be that fast. After Mookie Betts got hit last night, Sale zings a fastball right behind him.
And Chris Sale admitted to doing it. Said he did it on purpose. And, you know, so the league, this is the problem. The league allows this to happen because American League pitchers do not bat. And Chris Sale was warned by the umpire instead of thrown out. Buck went out, pleaded
ejection,
his case.
Hopefully puts an end to it.
Absolutely. And an ejection of the manager. You've got to go deeper than just the player right now to stop this nonsense, particularly in the American League, because these guys don't bat. We talked about it last week. So Chris Sale stands on the mound. Hey, here I am. You know, what are you going to do to me? And Manny even said later, you know, if I go out and hit him with the bat, I'm going to get suspended for 100 games, probably even maybe even the season. You know what? He's going to get suspended for 2 games. That's the problem. The problem is these guys that have the ball can headhunt and do anything they want, and there is no major penalty and no consequence. And the league has got to deal with that because these guys don't go up to the plate with a bat in their hand. They can do whatever they want. And Chris Sale, I don't care. Chris Sale can hit a gnat 60 feet away in a hurricane. He's so good with his control.
Yeah.
And for, he goes, well, I threw it on purpose behind him. I knew I wasn't going to hit him. Well, what if he did hit him? What if he did clip his kneecap and busted his kneecap open?
Yeah.
So what does that do? Then Chris Davis runs out and takes Chris Sale and body slams his 175-pound little skinny ass and throws him right down on the pitcher's mound. So what does that do? And then the Red Sox come out, and the next thing you know, you got 15 guys out there throwing people around left and right. What does that accomplish? It accomplishes absolutely nothing. Until the league gets off of their dead butt and does something about it, it's not going to stop. I'll tell you what. If they throw at Manny today and Manny runs out there with a baseball bat, he's got every right to do it. And I don't advocate this nonsense, neither does Buck. But for Chris Sale to stand on his holy-ass pitcher's mound yesterday and do that is one of the great cowardly things I've ever seen in Major League Baseball.
I'm going to start watching baseball.
Yeah, it's getting pretty
interesting. This is dramatic.
Woo! And I mean, it falls on Chris Sale's shoulders, but you have to realize that there's a whole ball club of dudes behind him that are expecting it as well.
Yeah, here's the issue. And Chris, guy, that's a great point.
Stupid baseball. Is it a tradition?
Unwritten
rules, whatever it is, this, you know, old-timey unwritten rules that this is the way the game is played and the way it needs to go.
So the origin of it now goes back 2 weeks. The hard slide from Manny to Dustin Pedroia.
Which he pulled up on.
And Pedroia
didn't even
said,
hit the guy. Yeah.
No problem, man. So if I'm a pitcher and Pedroia says that publicly, I'm like,
it's over.
Now, if Pedroia says it publicly but says to his teammates, you know what, that's BS, we need to get this guy, that's a different subject. Then you got a major problem. So 2 games later, not even the next day, 2 games later, Eduardo Rodriguez, who used to play a teammate for Manny, tries to hit him on 3 consecutive pitches.
Misses.
And couldn't do it because he doesn't know how. You know, or because he didn't want to. Maybe he was ordered by John Farrell or someone in the dugout to do it.
Threw him behind his head.
But he couldn't do it. But he threw at his ankle.
Well, no, but then they threw.
Oh, yeah. Then Matt Barnes throws at his head in the eighth inning. He gets ejected, and everybody's saying, "Oh well, well." Everybody in the Boston dugout's going, "Oh well, he didn't do it on purpose." Are you kidding me? That's comical. So then fast forward to Monday night when ESPN actually made it a national game because this is what they wanted.
Yep.
They wanted to see this. So Dylan Bundy in the sixth inning of a 2-0 game hits Mookie Betts to bring the tie run up. And the Red Sox are like, oh, well, he threw at him. Well, any idiot knows that Bundy is not going to throw and put a guy and bring the tying run to the plate in the sixth inning. If you're going to do it, Dylan would do it in the first or second inning and do it with one of the players of equal value to the Red Sox and Manny Machado, like Mookie Betts or Hanley Ramirez or whatever. So that's where we are. So Chris Sale takes the ball yesterday and acts like I'm Ray Lewis out here. What are you going to do to me? I'll tell you what, man. If he does it, if somebody, I'm not so sure who's pitching for them. Like Kevin Gausman's pitching for the Orioles. I would be shocked if he throws at anybody. But if he does, you know what? There's going to be a brawl. And I guess the league will be happy with that.
Damn. That's my point on baseball, Keith Mills. Holy hell.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Why the hell don't you eat your vegetables if you're a kid? Come on, there's an obesity epidemic in this country. What used to be fat is now the norm. What's fat now is shocking to some people. And in 50 years, 1,000 pounds is going to be the new standard because we found out that kids are going days without eating vegetables.
Now, round robin around the room, what was your vegetable intake as a child? I mean, I ate...
Mine were pretty good.
Yeah, I ate anything and anything under the sun. I loved it. I loved everything. Fruit, vegetables. It was going in my face hole.
Josh, was there any trickery? Was there any family trickery to get you to eat something? Did Jewish parents like hide stuff in food to get you, or they just put it in front of you and you eat it?
They would just try to persuade me. I would, you know, and I would say no. I really don't remember eating any vegetables as a kid. Maybe carrots. You know, now I'll eat a few more. I'll eat tomatoes, but it's got to be doused in Thousand Island dressing.
That's another problem with the young girl who my stepdaughter I love, but she does have a shirt that says right across the chest, ranch dressing is a blessing. If there's any vegetable going in her, it's going to be slathered in Hidden Valley. That's the only way it's crossing those tiny little lips of hers.
And I don't know what good does it do me? What good does it do you? I think that's what I was getting at when you hear in the break. I asked, like, are vegetables even important anymore? Whatever. I eat vegetables as a kid. I eat fruit as a kid. I eat them now. I'm still obese with breasts, and I'm fat, and I still have poor eating habits. And I have high cholesterol. I haven't even thought about that in months. I'm supposed to be getting my cholesterol down because I have high cholesterol, my doctor told me. So who gives a rat's ass? What does it all matter? What does it all mean?
Well, to us, yes. What does it all mean to us? Yeah, at some point, how about you should only eat vegetables until you're 40, and then after that, it's just straight carb, beer, sugar, heroin, and poppers. But for kids, so they don't start off in life, just a complete physical disaster, then yes.
Yeah, I mean, I was good. I was like real skinny all the way up until about college. And then once you're out of the house and you're free to do whatever the hell you want, it just went off the rails.
Yeah, when I moved out, man, there was a whole lot of Jimmy Dean's breakfast sausage, 2-pack sandwiches, and Sprite because I used to do my grocery shopping at a Best Buy.
Wait, 176 pounds in 11th grade. 176 pounds.
Eat your broccoli, kids. Behind the curtain, why the hell aren't you eating veggies?
Talking veggies. What do you know about them veggies?
What do you know about them vegetables?
Mike, eat a lot of veggies?
Mike, what's your name?
I do now, but veggies? I mean, before I changed my diet, I didn't really, unless, you know, a lot of potatoes.
Nah, yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, those root vegetables and all that. I mean, hey, my people relied on them for like thousands of years until we had a crop go south, and then we had to infect these golden shores. The damned Irish horde with your Roman popery. But there's this study that came out, you found, it's like kids are going like days without eating veggies. I know some kids are a little persnickety about it, including the two that I live with. I love them to death. But each night, it is a straight up, in the cage, battle royal. Someone hold their mouth open while I throw a couple of carrot slices in there type of battle. But there's some kids, I guess the parents are just like throwing their heads up,
says 25% of 6 to 11-month-olds and 20% of 1-year-olds ate no veggies on the days mothers were polled about the kids' eating habits. 26% of 1-year-olds had eaten French fries a day prior to the survey. It's not a vegetable, which is way more than 8 dark green veggies, 7.5% or deep yellow veggies.
Yeah, 410-338-1098. Shoot us a text, give us a call. This is going to sound stupid, but are veggies really that important? I mean, are they, like, are you getting, in 2017, do you need veggies?
I guess you
veggies.
Veggie, do you need the actual vegetable, like the mouthfeel of crunching into a big long carrot or to sink your teeth into a head of broccoli or something like that? Or you can do what we do and thousands of parents have done throughout, you know, decades, is hide the damn thing in it.
No, I don't hide it, man. You can't do that. Because what you're doing, it's not only what they're getting from the veggies, but it's about developing good eating habits. So if they don't know they're getting the veggies or they're not in the habit of eating veggies because you're hiding them, then you're getting the stuff in them, but you're not doing it the right way because you're not developing that habit of eating vegetables.
You want them
vegetables.
To like broccoli, not broccoli that's been hidden in the meat of a burger, that's been tucked inside of that chicken nugget that they're so addicted to.
That's why I try to, like, you know, Chiquita and I have talked about this, and my big thing is, you know, developing, you know, habits, because at 3 or 4 or 5, she's, you know, developing these habits where, like, yesterday she killed it, man. She ate, like, some chicken sausage, which was, you know, very good. Then I had some sweet potato fries. She didn't like those. But then she had some mini peppers right out of the bag, those, like, little fresh, crisp. And then she had mini carrots. And carrots and peppers, she was housing them. And I'm just like, go ahead, eat them. Eat them. Veggies are good for you. They make you big and strong. So then after she got done eating, I gave her a couple of Airheads. They have the little
Lemon head things? No, the
Airheads.
Taffy.
Yeah, but they're like little balls now, Airhead balls. Oh. So I gave her a couple of those, and then later on the night, you know, Chiquita went to give her like a Butterfinger, and I'm like, I already gave her Airheads. I'm like, I don't know if we should give her all that candy. So it's like, you just got, you know, it's about habits. You don't want them to get into the you know, bad habits. You want them to good habits. And
you know what my
veggies.
Parents did to me that got me into it, that I thought was such a boss decision. Kids love feeling like they have control over stuff. They love being able to pick their own thing, do their own thing. So they would take me to salad bars and let me get whatever, because I'm putting this here. I'm going to grab a couple of cherry tomatoes. I'm going to grab way too many croutons. These bacon bits, don't give a damn. I'm going to make a pile of those things. I'm going to get the sprouts. I'm going to get the slices of zucchini or cucumber. And because I felt like I made this dish, I got into it. But if I'm being told you're going to eat that cucumber, you're going to eat that cherry tomato, you're going to eat that squash, I'm like, you can go F yourself. I listen to Skid Row these days, and people in fourth grade think I'm a badass. But if you let them make their own, they feel like they have ownership over the dish.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Were you a picky eater growing up, Josh, when it came to the veggies?
Oh, yes, very picky. I'm still picky. I don't eat vegetables. I'll eat carrots, usually in soup that my sister makes. I'll eat, what else do I eat?
Is there a vegetable, though, you would rather set your mouth on fire?
Broccoli. Onions, actually, onions I'll eat occasionally on a sandwich. Radishes, I don't mind.
Oh, radishes.
I'm tough with the radish. I love everything.
Radishes. John Panette's got that great joke. Why do radishes exist? No one's ever come home drunk at 2:45 in the morning being like, I could really go for some radishes right now. No, you want a gigantic slice of pizza in the lips of a stranger. Let's take a couple of calls. We'll jump. We'll take some more after sports. Let's go here. Scott in Halethorpe, reading about your sister-in-law here. Her babies aren't long for this world.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's true. How are you guys doing this morning?
How are you?
Good.
Not good eating habits?
She's the last person in the world who should have a kid. God love her, but it's just, she's not mom material. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what she's saying. A bit of a whoopsie-daisy like your boy here?
For the most part.
Yeah.
So, basically, she would come over to the house and stuff like that, and God, you know, she would give the kid a Whopper. So the baby would come in with a Whopper in his hands, just kind of eating it, numb, like, just chewing on it. I'm just like, are you serious? The kid's not even a year old, and he's sitting there on a hamburger just chowing down on this thing. And then
I'm just imagining a kid whose hands are just they're the size of half dollars, gripping a Whopper to a kid has got to be the size of a salad plate.
It's hilarious. So I gave the kid the nickname, Whopper Baby.
He's fat. He'll probably be gone by 12. Thank you for the call, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no bueno.
That is sad. That kid is not going to live to see graduation. Let's go to Dustin in Columbia. Dustin, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
You have good, an opposite you? Problem here.
Yeah, my daughter's the complete opposite. We'll make chicken, steak, pork chops for dinner. And my daughter will eat all of her vegetables. She's only 2.5. She'll eat all her vegetables, and it's like a struggle getting her to eat burgers, steak, chicken, whatever.
Wow, so she's getting the veggies, but she don't want that meat.
The miracle kid.
Yeah, that's not a bad problem to have, man. I think of all things, you don't want someone with the backed-up 4-year-old John Wayne gut with 10 pounds of impacted beef inside of their little torso, but if they're putting back them veggies, not a bad problem to have.
Vegetables study came out and said kids just ain't eating vegetables. They just don't eat them.
They're done. They just want their crustables. They want their fish sticks. They want their sweet tarts and the whatevers. If it's growing out of the ground, it's not going in their mouth.
And then I just floated a question out there. You know, are vegetables even important nowadays? And somebody said this is the stupidest thing they've ever heard. Of course, vegetables are important. I believe they are. I was just, kind of. Just floating it out there, playing devil's advocate. Ow. Like, do we really need them? But yes, of course. I feed my daughter a ton of vegetables. I'm lucky. She loves to eat them.
Bless your heart.
She was munching on carrots yesterday. She was munching on them little mini sweet peppers. She loves broccoli. She loves it all.
Oh, so. God forbid we set down 5 leaves on one kid's plate in my house.
She
and
won't
the other
do lettuce,
kid has
though.
6.
Lettuce is tough. Oh, just the. Oh, you mean the amount.
Oh, God. Mom! She's got 5 on her plate! And I've got 6. Do you hate me?
Wow.
I mean, they're leaves the size of a Triscuit. Oh, they do this. This is the move, too. God, I love... My stepdaughter is really becoming one of my favorite people on earth. I mean that. It's no hyperbole. She's the sweetest thing in the world. But she does this thing where she gathers whatever she doesn't want on her plate, and she mashes it into this food ball. She turns it into a little food ball.
I hate it.
And she does... She pinches her nose... She takes these 5 deep breaths. Here I go. She needs an audience. Here I go. Just starts pouring water down her mouth, and just everyone's sitting around like, all right, you got it. Are you good?
Yeah, that's the other thing. You can't give an audience. So here's some text at 410-338-1098. Give us a call. You know any kids that just have not ever eaten vegetables? It says, my niece only eats chicken nuggets and french fries. Her mom is a fat POS. I was babysitting one night. I made a chicken pot pie for dinner. When she saw it, she said, vegetables? Ew, I don't eat vegetables. I said, you'll eat vegetables with me. She proceeds to take a bite, then vomit, then tell me, vegetables made me throw up. You need to get me chicken nuggets and french fries now. I refused. She didn't eat dinner that night. Needless to say, my sister-in-law has never asked me to babysit again. Her daughter is now 7 and only eats chicken nuggets, french fries, and Pop-Tarts. No vegetables ever.
Now, I am also a huge believer in a hungry person will eat anything, which is why I'm so baffled when I get a homeless person that I offer food to, and they're like, cilantro, pass. If a child only has certain options, that child will eat that. At some point, hunger will overtake desire for a cookies and cream Hershey's bar or one of those stupid Go-Gurt things. And that pile of cucumber and carrot in front of them, that's going to stop that grumbling stomach. That was old man Schlegel's routine. If they're hungry, you're going to eat it. Yeah. My God, after a while, that stomach bubble built up enough in your gut. And you're like, you know what? That cauliflower doesn't look so bad all of a sudden. Sure, it's been sitting around for 4.5 hours, and I insist on using the word Sutton with 2 T's instead of D's, but I will eat it.
Says, my girlfriend's sister's 12 and has never eaten anything else but chicken nuggets and pizza. Oh. Never, ever had a vegetable or anything else in her life.
I'm coming 12. For vittles!
We discussed this before. We had a coworker here that just ate mac and cheese.
That's
just
weird.
Mac and cheese.
No, he ate mac and cheese, one other thing. I can't remember. It was very strange.
Something
though.
Equally as unhealthy.
And there's the famous interview, Jay Leno, 2006. He told a Parade magazine, I'm a meat, chicken, potatoes, pasta guy. I eat a lot of junk food, pizza, hamburgers, hot dogs. I have soda, not a diet soda, regular soda. I don't think I've had a vegetable since 1969.
Whoa. This is crazy.
How are you not 3,000 pounds?
My sister-in-law, a six-year-old boy who has never so much as touched a vegetable, let alone eat one. The only thing that little S eats is that breakfast sausage that is in those cylindrical tubes in a bowl, drowned in syrup while downing cans of soda.
Your teeth have to be digs black.
Setting these kids up for a lifetime of health problems.
Yeah, I mean, if not obesity at some point, which is going to rear its big, fat, ugly, triple-chinned head, eventually your teeth and gums first.
Teeth, gums, diabetes, weight problems, heart disease, a lifetime of poor eating habits.
My fingers tingle when I do anything. When I attempt to pick up a book, I feel like my shoulder's going to tear.
My niece and nephew only eat chicken nuggets, hot dogs, and mac and cheese. Yeah, we're getting a lot of these.
It seems to be the mac and cheese. You know what it is? Yellow food. Yellow and orange-hued food kids love. Maybe bananas, yellow. Chicken nuggets, orange. Mac and cheese, yellow-orange. French fries, yellow.
Oh, Stella will mess up some bananas. She loves bananas.
Oh, man.
She loves pears. She loves apples. She loves everything, man.
Evan's ability to eat a banana is shocking. I believe he got that from his old man, and I don't even like bananas, but he sure does love cylindrical stuff aimed at his little lips. He'll just demolish a banana. See who we have here. 410-338-1098. Let's go to Carlos. Carlos, good morning, bud.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, just wanted to say, first off, I love the show.
Shout out.
Love
you.
Well, yeah, I have a four-month-old right now. He's not eating vegetables, obviously, because, you know, he's young. But I grew up raising my little brother.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, he didn't like vegetables either, but one of the things I found out is that he takes a lot of pride by helping me make the food. So he's more tempted to eat it because, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I made this.
Yes.
So having having the kids help out in the whole making of the food helps them eat it, whether it's, you know, broccoli. Potatoes is a big one. You know, you can make potatoes a lot of different ways, and that's honestly his favorite now. That's what got him into vegetables.
Helping them out in the kitchen. I like that.
Thank you for the call.
Like you said, kids like love to just feel like they're lending a hand.
If I was responsible for this, I'm going to be way more into it. It's what my parents did for me. Send me to the salad bar. I come back with that plate. I'm going to eat it because I made it. Let's go to Mark in Germantown. Mark.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you, Mark? Haven't heard from you in a while there, pal.
I listen every day, loyally. Hey, my kid's 14, and shout out to Ian. What's up, player? Hey, he won't eat vegetables for nothing. I've never met a kid who doesn't like corn. Are you for real?
He doesn't even like corn?
He doesn't like corn.
Everybody likes corn, right?
I love corn. It's like barely a vegetable.
I eat it in a very special way. Delicious.
And you get to see it on the way out, too. It's double fun.
Thank you for the call, Mark. Yes, it just keeps on giving the whole way. Let's go to, this is a classic one. Plenty of kids have eaten this way. Will, good morning.
Hello there, boys.
Father!
Well, see, I got two kids. My daughter is 6. My son's 8.
Yeah.
My son doesn't like he doesn't like broccoli at all. Dry, steamed, doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. So my mom's like, you know, do like we did when you were kids. Put cheese on it. So we put like melted cheese on it and he eats it. He'll eat any other vegetables like corn, and lettuce and celery. But when it comes to broccoli, no. Now my daughter, she's a complete rabbit. She eats any vegetables.
Nice.
She's like, Daddy, can we try soybeans? Can we try cauliflower? And I'm like, where are you getting all this knowledge of vegetables from?
Where'd you get that fancy pants palette of yours there?
Where'd she get it all from?
She says she reads books, and that made me cry right there because I'm like, my baby's going places with the vegetables. Yeah. He's like, Daddy, can you teach me what this vegetable tastes like? I'm like,
dude, that's
sure
awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome. Now,
I got a little misty on that one.
That was
cool.
Great. Yeah.
Soybeans. Yeah, Stella loves edamame, too.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, edamame. The kids actually love edamame because they like playing with it. If you can play with something or take something out of something, it's like they're unwrapping a food. They'll place it in their mouth.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Fidget spinners. It's the new thing the kids are doing. Last year you had the bottle flipping. In our age, we had the pogs, hacky sack, whatever. Anything to keep the kids' hands from being idle, which means they're going to be distracted with them. They're going to start grabbing stuff, grabbing girls, grabbing boys, whatever. These fidget spinners are things that can occupy a hyperactive kid's mind. And you'll hear in the break coming up, we discuss the various different ones. You're going to find out someone here at the station actually has one with them. I feel like I need one now for my leg. If I could have something,
leg
my leg's bad, dude. My leg, I caught myself all morning. I'm doing this.
I look over at you, and people have people commented on a text all the time. They're like, why is Justin just bouncing up and down continually all morning?
It's my left leg. It won't stop. I have RLS, not to be confused with ALS. I have RLS, restless leg syndrome. I think it's real.
Like, I look over, and all I see is this.
Yeah, it's my body bouncing from my left leg.
It's just your head is doing this the entire morning. I'm like, man.
Yeah, it's
this
leg.
We were at Sagamore Rye, and we were all sitting on the stage. The whole stage was, like, shaking. We were all like, what?
Yeah, we're on some rickety. I mean, believe it. Add it to the list for the reasons I shouldn't work here, that I'm bouncing around, and I need some sort of, like, I don't know, like a, what do they call that pedal, the kick pedal on a drum kit?
Mm-hmm. Kick drum.
The kick drum. But if I could have something that I could do that to and not make the noise, I think that'd be great. Something for feet.
Yeah, that's a good question. They have these, like, what are they called? The fit. What is it?
The fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners.
I need a toe tapper.
Yeah, we need something for the foot.
I need happy feet. I need something for my happy feet. Would you, the dear listener, if you could, because you're very, very talented and you're very, very creative, if you could make something for your boy that I could put underneath of the desk so I don't look like I'm having a grand mal seizure every single show or rattling us off the stage at whatever remote that we're at because of my dumb left leg, that would be great. Hear about it now. Fidget spinners. It's the new thing the kids love, teachers hate, and someone here has on Behind the Curtain.
Fidget spinning.
If you fidget, you get spinning. Do some spinning. Yeah, we put it up on our own Facebook page.
98online.com. It's up there, too. Facebook. We got links to what fidget spinners are. It's a little thing that you put in your hand and you spin it.
Yeah.
You spin it. It's kind of like...
Like my playlist.
When you get fidgety.
Yeah.
When you're fidgety and you got... anxiety or nerves or pent-up energy or whatever. I don't know. You just kind of got to...
You got to kind of right here.
I equated it to the... Where'd you get one?
Brian Neiman uses this thing.
Brian Neiman? We got a fidget spinner in here?
Brian Neiman, the host of the morning show on WBAL 1090 AM News Radio, uses a fidget spinner. Hold this thing. Play around with it.
Yeah, the way it's weighted and stuff makes it kind of... And how do you spin it? How do you do it?
You either place it on the table and you just kind of tap it and spin it and see how long it goes, or you pinch it with your middle finger and your thumb and you kind of use your index finger to flick it, which, hey, kids, later in life, that could help you out with some other stuff. Anyway,
I'm telling you, just as we finished discussing it on the show, I walk into the hallway and here comes Neiman walking by me with his fidget spinner.
We're on the pulse here, people. We're on the pulse of the world.
Yes, the youngins.
This is why you come to us. The second we talk about it, this guy out in the hallway next to us has got one. It is a fidget spinner.
Yeah, the one that I bought was the fidget cube.
Yeah, I've seen the cube. It's got like little buttons and knobs on it.
I'm going to mispronounce it, but it's like the Kuchikui fidget cube. One side has this like silver ball you can roll around or click. The other side has a little analog joystick. The other side has five buttons. One side has a switch. One side has a groove you can run your finger back and forth. And it's small. It's only the size of like a walnut, but you hold it in your hand, and any nervous energy that you might have, you just run it around. And I played with it for a day, and then now it's just sitting in a drawer.
Is Brian Neiman available, Mike? Or I'm assuming he's on the air, but maybe they go to break or something. See if he's in break, and we could see what it does for him in terms of fidgetedness, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Fidgetiness.
What does the article on IGN say?
The one that says the best fidget spinners are as listed.
Does it explain like what they do? I heard it's to help kids with ADHD,
exactly.
Autism.
They mostly say ADHD. IGN tends to stay away from any like conditions. The top rated spinner on Amazon right now, 400 reviews, 4.8 stars out of 5. 65 millimeters. It is injected molded rather than 3D printed, giving an extra layer of durability. Is the Kazodo Co. X6 fidget spinner.
Joining us in studio. Oh. He looks fantastic today.
Yes,
it's a great outfit.
He does.
Why do you wear suits every day?
They make me go on television.
He has to go on TV.
And for about 5 minutes,
oh,
they
must
make
be
me wear
nice.
A suit and tie.
Yeah, we've
WBAL AM 1090. Yeah. Brian Neiman.
Whatever.
Good morning.
AM guy.
6 foot two,
right.
Stack
AM
of sex.
Why, now, you gotta, the whole suit thing, can't you just, like, fake it? You just
I would like to, but they tell
but
me that I have
you,
to wear...
When you're not on TV, well, take the tie off, take the jacket off, and roll
fair.
The sleeves up.
That's fair.
You don't gotta walk around looking like that, and who are you trying to impress?
Not you, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. You just told us you're on TV for 5 minutes, we know. Hey, what is... This is your fidget spinner.
Well, it's my son's. It's Charlie's, the youngest. He's 4 years
old. Shout
out, Charlie.
He already
has one.
I'm Charlie.
He's four?
Yeah.
And I can't focus on
anything. So why did
you
bring it in? Are you talking about him, too?
Yeah, we were just talking about him. It's amazing. My wife actually had to go to Annapolis to get them. We live in the Twin Cities of Gambrills and Odenton, so she actually drove 25 minutes out of her way to try and find these.
The Twin Cities.
So it's become more than just, like, whatever it was intended for.
Oh, yeah.
To help fidget. Now it's just a fad.
Every kid in preschool, elementary, I mean, in middle school, probably high school, too, and elementary school.
The elementary school kids are bringing these things over to my house. I mean, not a one of them can walk in a straight line or finish a single task, and they're bringing these things over to my house.
Yeah, we got a tweet. It says, my wife is an elementary school teacher, and I can tell you that fidget spinners are none too popular amongst the teacher crowd. They become more of a distraction than anything else. Yeah. Kids just treat them as if they are toys.
Teachers hate them. They believe they were created by the devil. I mean, it's just everybody has them. And in the middle school, they're like, because they're not that expensive, even though they're hard to find, but you can still pop. They sell them in 7-Eleven.
Do you see the designs that they make on them, too? They make some that look like they're a batarang that Batman would throw.
So, and that's what they do. They throw them in the hallways,
too. That's fun.
Because, you know, it's only like $2, so why not just chuck it around? Like a Chinese throwing star.
How long before they get banned?
Some schools have already banned them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like Massachusetts and New York and some other states.
So why does Charlie, did he want one or does he need one?
Well, because he's the youngest, and anything that his older brothers get, he has to have.
My dad,
and
my mom.
Older brothers? Yeah. How many kids you got?
Too many. Three.
Wow.
You want to come over and babysit next
week?
No,
I only got one, and I may be done.
My
one
mind's
done,
a
homie.
Nightmare. It won't stop. Dad, I can't get to sleep. My mind is a hell that I'm trapped in. Get me something to burn this energy off, Dad.
What kind of shampoo do you use?
What? That's a good question. Dove, I believe.
Dove?
Yeah.
Dove has a shampoo?
I think it's Dove.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
Not. May not be Dove.
I was going to say
Garnier
Fructis.
The same one that my wife uses.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we just have the pump in the shower.
Are you a woman? Uh-huh. Are you also a woman?
Let me see.
Okay.
Not today. Not today.
Those are pecs.
Look round. How good he looks. Correct. It's disgusting.
We were going to do
I don't
a
think
break.
You're that attractive.
Thank you. Neither do I.
I mean,
why
not,
does this always
go?
Why every time
ugly,
I come up here, we have to talk
Adonis.
About this?
I don't. I think you're.
Come on. Can't you talk about my mind?
I think
how about
you're a
how
handsome
smart
guy.
I am? Why does it always have to go to my looks?
Hey, Josh, his eyes are up here.
You're handsome.
That's right. Right here. Look at the face.
I don't go Adonis. I don't like. I never thought Adonis. I'm like, he's a good looking guy, but I don't think you're like.
I hate you.
When you walk around the office, that you're, you know, exponentially better looking than everyone around you.
So much better than everybody.
I don't
physically. When you walk away, you just kind of say hi in the hall.
I
do turn around and watch you walk.
Do you think he's that much better? Like in would you say Adonis?
I've noticed women leer at Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta go.
He's got 100% true. I've
like
caught people.
You want?
Damn right, you feel like an
get
object.
Out of here, you piece of meat.
Hey, well, don't put it on display like that. With
yeah.
just asking for it, Brian.
A sex ribeye.
Yeah.
There you go, T-bone steak of a man.
I guess we got to get some fidget spinners. I tell you what, while I was talking to him, I had it in my hand, and it was...
kind of soothing?
It was just fun to do.
I had something in my hand while Brian was in here, and I was fidgeting with it.
Got a text here. It's a video text. I'm an electrician. I use mine every day in traffic. A 16-second video of him sitting in his truck, flicking his thing.
That's unsafe. Whoa.
Flicking your thing in your truck.
Flicking the thing in the truck. Yeah, guys, I'm just playing with my fidget spinner here right now. Oh, yeah. Kai says his little brother is 12. He's obsessed with his fidget spinner. Shannon Tolley, that beautiful teacher that I do some choir work with from time to time, says these fidget things are annoying. Kids who don't need them are playing with them instead of the kids who actually need them. It's sort of like when people that we know around here that take Adderall that don't need Adderall, and it just makes it annoying.
It's like back in the day, you know, we didn't have fidget spinners, but it was, with me, it was a paper clip or a pen cap.
Or a gun.
Well, the article I read was...
or a gun.
Like Tamagotchis and slap bracelets and all those little, like, cheap, like Brian said, they're very cheap, they're kind of disposable, They get hot for a few months. The slap bracelets were a big one. Remember that?
You'd slap it across your wrist. And yet, then you'd play with it. You didn't just put a slap bracelet on and keep it there. You took it off 1,000 times a day until the metal would warp.
Well, remember, at least for my school, around circa 1996, 97, 98, yo-yos were the huge thing.
Yo-yos got big, too. Yeah, I had a buddy. A bunch of us had yo-yos, but my one buddy, Troy, got, like, so good at it, and we hated it. He could rock the baby or whatever it was called.
What was
rock,
like Smothers Brother?
Rock, he got so good.
Hey, like, look, I'm around the world, and he's just knocking stuff off shelves with it.
How did that happen? How did the yo-yo make such a major comeback?
Do you remember the infomercial with the Smothers Brothers that they came back out in, like, the mid to late 90s? The Smothers Brothers tried to get this whole new generation into yo-yoing, and they were doing the whole, like, the rock the cradle, the around the world, the through the leg, the double action. Yes, you know, we had our school. We had the stick yo-yo. Remember the kid with the two sticks and the string and that stupid thing in the center? Yeah, so, hey, send us your videos at JSS98Rock, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We want to see you fidgeting with your spinner.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Hey, Josh, a few days removed. Hey, talk to me. What happened here in the clip coming up with Jeff Garlin?
Well, we were recording an interview, as we sometimes do after the program, and I asked him a question about where he lives, because the material we had said he lives in...
Don't say it. Mike, name the three most violent cities in the country.
Chicago, Baltimore, and somewhere in New Jersey, probably.
Gotcha. That would be Newark.
Yes.
And where's he from, Josh?
He's from Chicago.
Chicago, what many people consider the most violent city in America.
So I asked him, do you live in Chicago? And he said he lives in L.A. and Chicago, and just half the year in Chicago. And I said, is that because of the crime? And he sounded like he didn't like the question. He was upset. He got his panties. He got his big, fat, giant panties in a wad.
Yeah, you'll hear in the interview coming up, the tone takes a quick left.
Yeah, and then he says it was because of the weather.
Yeah.
The weather.
Yeah, it's called the weather. It's called winter.
My favorite part of the interview, though, is when you try to wrap it up early, which you never wrap anything up. Except for news.
Well,
obviously.
It's been good talking to you, Jeff. If you listen carefully, Josh never wraps up interviews, and Josh tries to roll credits on it.
Yeah, that probably was just a nervous reflex. But I felt, I don't know, I felt bad about it the whole day. And but look,
you ruined an interview, so you probably you should feel bad about that. You probably should still be beating yourself
up. Yes, definitely.
Horrific.
Carry this with you all through your days.
Forever.
To your grave. To your grave. Garland won't be there helping carry that casket into the dirt.
Like, as you're on your deathbed, you'll just hear Garland going,
no.
That's where he draws the line. Of all the offensive things that, you know, are said, it's just interesting.
Well, hear it now. We interviewed Jeff Garlin, and midway through, you can hear the tone of the conversation change on Behind the Curtain. Justin Scott and Spiegel joining us on the phone. Got a new Netflix original film, Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie. Comedian Jeff Garlin joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. A pleasure to be here.
Hey, one of the first things I noticed about this film, I read the bio about it, and one name in it jumped out at me. This is a guy that I've seen do stand-up. I've seen his documentary. He's a fascinating character, and I'm really glad he's in this with you. He's the Bitter Buddha, Eddie Pepitone. Talk to me about wording with Eddie.
I love Eddie Pepitone so much, he kills me.
I've never seen someone that is maniacal on stage as an Eddie Pepitone, to where at some point you literally think he's going to bite the microphone in half like a carrot, and then you see him off stage.
As a matter of fact, later this year I'm going to direct a Netflix special with him.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, he's the best.
With this movie, I know, you know, you're so well known from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And
I am so well known.
Yes, you are. And sidebar question, when the hell is that coming back?
In the fall.
Okay, great. What day and what time?
I don't know the date or time, but it'll be in the fall.
Okay.
And it's my favorite season that we've shot so far.
Okay, great. Now, you do a lot of, improvising on that show. Do you do that in the movie as well, or is it strictly scripted?
Well, because I'm the director and the co-writer of the movie, I let people, you know, vary from the script. Like, certain takes, I'll go, do whatever you want on this take. But in general, it's scripted. And then when I do the Goldbergs, it's very tightly scripted. You have to be exact.
And recently, we got to talk to another co-star from the Netflix original, Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie on a much serious topic. We had Leah Remini joined us on the program talking about about trying to divorce herself from Scientology and trying to shine a light on that. And it was a very, very serious conversation. And this makes me glad
to be taken serious. That's not something, although somebody I think will joke around with it someday. But right now what she's doing is really brave.
It really is. I mean, you turn that organization against you, and the next thing you know, you've had your identity stolen, you lose all your property, and they've mailed you to some island somewhere. But to see that she's involved
wait, let's take a step back. Let's just think if they actually did do what you just said.
Okay, I've maybe read a blog.
They take your property, and they mail you to an island? That's hilarious.
Miscavige.
I don't know that people would be so upset.
Miscavige has got an island, okay? He's got an island. They dump anybody that's been excommunicated somewhere in this Pacific Ocean, I've read. Somewhere on Reddit, all right? It can't be substantiated. But it makes me happy to hear that she's involved with good people like you and Eddie Pepitone and Christine Woods and Amy Sedaris on here. Was she lively? Is she back in it? Is she doing well?
Amy Sedaris is doing great, and she is so funny in general. She's the funniest person I know.
Are you living in Chicago as well as Los Angeles?
I live in L.A. mostly, but I have a place in Chicago. I try only going back in the summer. It doesn't always work out that way.
Now, is that because there's a lot of crime in Chicago?
No.
Is there we hear?
It's called winter.
Okay.
Winter.
Okay. Because here in Baltimore, we get labeled as like crime city, crime capital.
You know what? Here's the thing. There's crime everywhere, and it's tragic and horrible and all that. But there's still, in Chicago and Baltimore, wonderful things and wonderful places.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, another film you did that I loved, and I'm so glad we got to talk to you about this film today that I'm excited. It comes out Friday, May 5th on Netflix, Handsome. But it was the 2007 film that you did alongside Sarah Silverman, I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With.
I Want Someone to Eat Cheese
With. Man,
that was
a good film because you were so funny and so much for so long, and you were still funny in I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With, but it was sort of a rare moment that I got to see you, Jeff Garland, way more vulnerable. You had that breakdown at the beginning of the film. I loved the scenes where you had that perfect spot near Wrigley Field where you'd sit and you'd lay in your car and just eat snacks and just...
By the way, the sad thing about that is that's 100% true. I used to go to the 7-Eleven or there was a bagel place even further away, and I would get a bunch of food and sit on the hood of my car right by Wrigley Field and just look at Wrigley Field.
What were you thinking while you were out there? What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, two reasonings. Who doesn't love the fresh taste of a good ho-ho?
Mm.
And by ho-ho, I mean the hostess treat.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting hookers on my car by Wrigley Field. But also, you know, it's just sort of like, you know, it's hard sometimes to sit with feelings, and I'm an addict, and food is my junk, you know?
You also, you got to enjoy the company of a one Sarah Silverman in that film. She played a...
I enjoy her company all the time in Los Angeles.
Oh, well, you enjoyed her company. You enjoyed her company in that film. And how beautiful.
I did enjoy in that way, yes.
Yes.
But that was off camera.
Yes, you got to know her
bit. Although part of it was on camera.
A little bit. It wasn't like a salacious sex scene or anything like that, but it was kind of heartbreaking. You know, you feel like you found this absolute, just this vision of beauty, and then it doesn't quite go the way. I don't want to give it away. I want people to see, obviously, the new Netflix film. I also want people to go back and visit your earlier work.
By the way, there's themes that are very similar in the new Netflix film. It's more interesting if the lead character doesn't get the girl.
And, well, you definitely didn't in Someone You Cheese With, and I'm assuming that's a little tease for Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie. Talk to me about working with Netflix.
Yeah, he's solving crime, but not his own life.
We've talked to people before that have done, like, comedy specials on there. They've done television specials or, you know, like, scripted shows. They've done, like, all the Marvel stuff, and you get people like Adam Sandler, who's doing a series of films. They've gotten Martin Scorsese. Netflix, what we gather from people is they basically hand you a swimming pool of money and say, we'll check back in 9 months, have a blast, and they kind of keep their nose out of your business.
Well, I think everything but the swimming pool is true.
Okay.
They give you money, but it's more of a hot tub full of money, and they do leave you alone.
How nice is that, to not have a standards and practices guy or some guy that's concerned about the...
It's wonderful.
The test groups, you know, or whatever?
Well, we have that with Curb Your Enthusiasm, too. That's the problem. That's always been the problem with network television.
Well, I'm looking forward to the movie, looking forward to Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jeff Garlin.
Yeah, Jeff, we just got done talking to J.B. Smoove. He was up here last week, and he kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit. Like you said, it was coming out this fall, the new season of Curb. And he reiterated something you said. He said this is going to be the greatest season of Curb Your Enthusiasm ever. He says the wait will be absolutely worth the time off that you've had since the last season.
I hope so.
All right, check it out. Friday, May 5th, it's going to be Netflix's original film, Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie. Jeff, I appreciate your time. I've loved your work. I've loved it for a long time. I want somebody to be eat cheese with. And if it's anything like that, I can't wait for this film, Handsome.
Well, that is very kind of you, and if you dug I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With, you'll definitely dig this.
All right, there he goes. Jeff Garlin, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you.
Is he off the phone?
Yeah, he's gone.
He really did not like my comment about Chicago crime. Did you notice that?
Boy, he really clammed up real quickly. He's like, if you... I think we should maybe take that audio chunk and go back and replay it. You can hear his voice kind of drops.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Did I ruin the interview for after that?
Okay. No, I don't think you ruined it at all. I promise you. I don't think he felt like doing the interview.
Just in general.
Yeah, I think he would rather have had his feet in boiling popcorn butter.
Okay, so now how am I supposed to watch Jeff Garlin without thinking about how I pissed him off?
Easy.
Okay.
You don't.
Okay.
Got it.